Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan, Ryan Rossett, Asbury Park Style. Now, normally for the past 8.5 years, I always go, well, it's just another beautiful Thursday evening down the Jersey Shore. But I can't say that because it's Wednesday. And what a Wednesday it was. It's a very special Wednesday, not only because of my awesome guest, but because it was Inauguration Day. So anyway, I celebrated. I watched it all afternoon when I got up finally. But without further ado, I would like to introduce my guest for tonight, because after all, it is about the show Ryan Rossett, Asbury Park Style. And it's about my wonderful, I have a whole story to tell about that, but I don't want to talk too much like I always do. But I want to introduce Jamie Sophia G, and she's in Florida. She's a lucky one. She's in the warm weather, and we're freezing here. We had snow today a little bit. And Jamie is an awesome guitarist. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi, Nancy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. I mean, I have no complaints. I've got the shows up. We're on. We're live. We're going live. We have a lot to talk about. I just wanted to say about Jamie that I happened upon her. She was playing a guitar, and I thought, wow, what an awesome guitar player. I wish I could play like that. And then I went to her Facebook page. Oh, it's true. And so I went to her, and she was doing some jazzy, bluesy thing, I think it was. And I went to her Facebook page and saw that she was friends with a very longtime friend of mine, Stephanie Stevens. So I got on top of her right away. I called her and I said, I want you to be on my show. So Jamie, as I said, and I did a great promo, and everybody's read it, I know it, and that she is in a group called the Divine Seven. And she's also a solo artist, because today I saw, or yesterday, you were out there doing your solo act. I saw a little bit of that today on Facebook. But I want to get rid of my first question. When I used to be in the studio, you know, in a big studio with Hamilton Radio, I would ask like 5 questions, and I would play somebody's, you know, like if you had originals, and then my original. But I only ask one question in the beginning of the show, and it is the beginning of the show. So, so if I talk too much, just feel free to interrupt. I'll have no problem with that, because I get very excited about my shows, and I did have some chocolate before the show, which I should never do. Anyway, I have a potential spam coming in. I'd like to, you know, they've got to get rid of this. I have to get something, RoboKill or whatever it's called, because it's ridiculous. Every 5 minutes you get people calling you to take your money. Anyway, getting back to the show, the only question I'm going to ask you, Jamie, is this. Who influenced you the most while you were growing up, and why?
Oh, February 9th, 1964 at 8 o'clock. That was the night the Beatles came on the Ed Sullivan Show, and I was hooked. I looked at George. I looked at George, and I was like, how did she? I was 10 years old. And I thought, how does he know where to put his fingers on that thing? You know, so that was a start. So, of course, I got the bright idea of taking one of my dad's, you know, cigar boxes. And I made my first little rubber band guitar. And, you know, I drilled a hole in it, and not realizing that my dad's cigars were in there. So I was so excited. You know, yeah, I forgot to take the cigars out. It wasn't empty. And I cut a hole in the middle, you know, and I started. And that night it was like, oh, boy. They got the hint real quick. So I think my birthday right after that, I got an acoustic guitar. And back in that day, there was no internet. There was nothing. If you really wanted to play, you had to really search, seek it out, you know, because it was not happening, you know, way back when, back in 60s. You know, so the first thing was I didn't know how to tune it. So I went around to all the neighbors on the block with my guitar knocking on doors. It's like, do you guys know how to tune this thing? And I was like, we don't even know what that is. So I was like, okay. So you know, went shopping with my parents one night, and there was a guitar on the wall, and I asked the man if that was in tune. He said, yes. So I got a pencil and a piece of paper for my mom, and I would put the directions of the way the keys were facing. And I figured, well, if
right.
I put mine that way, it'll be in tune. Well, of course, it wasn't in tune. So lo and behold, finally, I think it was like a couple of months or so after that, my dad brought me a four little page book with a plastic record and taught me four chords, and it had about a half a dozen songs in it. Oh, Susanna, Little Brown Jug. And that
right.
was the start. And then my other thing was, there was no internet and stuff like that, nobody to help me. So I would buy all the Beatle cards, and I would look at their fingers on the pictures, and I was hoping that I could, make a chord. It sounded good, but I didn't know the name of it. And I was really surprised, and when I got into, the junior high school, and I played a chord, and my friend said, "Wow, that's a D7. I said, "Finally, I know the name of this chord." So it was quite
right.
hard, but it was very important to do that. And the difference is, back in those days, when you started school, especially in junior high school, you found other people that played and other people that knew a little bit, and we taught each other. I would learn bits and pieces of songs, and I have another friend that would know bits and pieces of songs, and we would get together and we would teach each other. It's like, oh, I know parts of this song, and that was great.
Right.
I mean, it was all new. It was exciting. It was like all of a sudden everything changed. I was long hair, outrageous clothes, the hippie thing
right.
was happening,
Uh-huh.
So I was like, wow, it was a whole different world, And so that started it.
You've
and
been
then
playing
by
a
the
long
time
time.
I got
you, yeah,
oh yeah,
been
this is my
time.
yeah, I'm 65, 50 years
wow.
in the business. Yeah. So by the time I graduated, by high school, I was getting pretty proficient. Of course, I had different bands, going through junior high and high school, and we played for the dances and all the local stuff, the Loyal Order or the
right.
Water Buffaloes or the Moose Club, or
right.
Eagles, And you would do those supermarket openings, whatever, And we bang
right.
out, Beatles songs, Rolling Stones songs at the time, Cream, and all that was
that's
brand
awesome.
New. And I'll never forget. I was it was out in Long Island because that's where I was raised. I was born in Brooklyn
mm-hmm.
and Queens and Long Island. And I was, once again, during that era, junior high school, it's where I met Stephanie. She lived around the corner. She played piano. So
right.
we would get together. Yeah, we would get together, and she always wrote songs. I wasn't blessed with that gift of writing songs. I like playing for people who had songs, who wrote songs. And that's what
right.
eventually happened, So when I was, got graduated in 74, I immediately went out and got a gig with the band. And then it was, go on the road, and it didn't make much money, but it was exciting. I mean, you're on traveling, playing different places, And then we got to the point, after playing, for many, many years on the road, and we got our opportunities to open up for some big names, which was like 38 Special. We opened up for the Dixie Dregs, April Wine, just to name a few. And that was like,
uh-huh.
wow, this is big time. You
made it to the big time, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be. I often wonder what it would be like to play for a crowd, those big crowds like that. I have to just take you back for a second to when you said who influenced you was the Beatles. You brought me back immediately to where I was. I can't believe you had the date, the time, the exact moment.
I'll never forget.
I remember
uh-huh.
going down to my best girlfriend's house. Her father was Episcopalian minister. And I remember going
wow.
down to her house just in time now I'm going to forget, of course, the show. What was the show? The show that the Beatles opened up on. You just told
the
me Sullivan. In the beginning of the show. The Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan.
My God, I don't know how I could forget that. But the Ed Sullivan show. And I went there when they "She Loves You," yeah. I think that's the song they opened with. I don't remember exactly, but all I remember is, oh, my God. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that
that's
was
it.
Such a moment. I was a bit older than you were. I was like, oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was 10 years older than you are. So I was a teenager. I was in high school. So anyway, but and when you said that you made, you were really creative to make a guitar, to make a guitar out of a guitar box, because I actually have a friend. Well, he's not a real good friend. He was in California, but he made the cigar box guitars, and they sell them here, of course, now till this day. You can buy a cigar box guitar.
I have a friend of mine in town that does that. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to send you a picture. My girlfriend is into peace signs, and she sent me, I said, what is that, a banjo or a guitar? It's like a peace sign. It's just a wooden peace sign, but it's got strings on it.
Right.
It looks more like a banjo to me than a guitar, but it's a string electric. I think it's electric. I'll send the picture to you. She just sent it to me in a messenger. Anyway, go back on. Okay, there we go.
I got a friend of mine here. Well, I have a friend of mine in town that does those cigar box guitars, and he's doing quite well with them. I mean, he sells them, and he goes and does, like, you know, there's shows, you know.
Right.
It's phenomenal, you know. It's like all of a sudden it's the new rage. I went to the guitar store, and here they are in packages now, the cigar box.
Oh, yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. You know?
I know, and they're your guitar collection. You have a lot of beautiful, beautiful guitars. I would have had five guitars, but I don't play anything like you. I mean, I play rhythm. I'm lucky if I can like finger pick to an old Simon and Garfunkel song or something. I'm pretty much a strummer, and my brother Billy, who's, they call him the guitar man, of course, he's his big wig. He's you know, the featured artist in Asbury Park, and he went on tour with a lot of big bands, and we won't get into him. People said, stop talking about your brother, talk about yourself. And actually, I want to talk about you. I want to talk about my guest. So, but I looked at your guitar. You have a lot of gorgeous guitars. And the only thing I regret as far as guitars is I bought, well, actually, I would have had, no, seven guitars, because I started out on a nylon string guitar. My brother Billy taught me four chords.
Right.
And I was a songwriter like Stephanie too. So I immediately started playing, like you said. It was like three easy four chord Beatles songs and all, you know, songs that I could pick up on very easily. And then, of course, I mainly focused on writing. So I've written like over 100 songs.
Yeah.
But getting back to your guitars, I bought my very first electric. I always thought electric cars, they're hard on your fingers, you know, and I always put light strings on my acoustic guitars. But so I bought my first, I bought the prototype in California of a Takamine electric acoustic guitar, and it was gorgeous. It had beautiful wood and lavender. Like, it would have been such a fabulous show guitar. And don't you know, I never played it in public because I didn't have an amplifier even. I had one of these little things to practice with, but it wasn't one I could take out and play anywhere. And I only played at coffee shops anyway. And then I would just get on stage, you know, sing a song. But anyway, I sold it for what I bought it for. And back, this was years ago. This is like, oh my gosh, 35 years ago. I bought it for $300 and I sold it to a guitar collector for the same amount, $300. And when I went to sell it to him, of course, he was into it immediately. I probably could have got $500 or $600 for it. And I think that's one of Bruce Springsteen's favorite guitars, is the Takamine. So I owned the prototype and sold it like a nut.
Wow.
And in his house, he had guitars around his whole living room. Like, they were all up, like, on the ceiling. I don't know how many he had. I didn't count them. It was just overwhelming. It was overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm up to 47. Anyway, I just bought another one. Yeah.
What? 47?
I got 47. I got 47 of them, and they're all
my God.
And they all bring a different style out in me. Like, I have one guitar for jazz, one for my rock and roll, one for country, one for, you know, when I play reggae.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
that's unbelievable.
And then I have, like, singing amplifiers.
Oh, my God.
But that's all then I had I have a guitar endorsement, so I had some made for me. I'm endorsed by Daisy
that's
Rock
nice.
Guitars.
That's really
so I
nice.
Got that. And then I had a PV endorsement. And, you know, so I went on the road and, you know, and then got to the point where I was starting to play with, like, with Gloria Estefan, Vanessa Williams, Rita Moreno. And I was doing
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was, you know, and I'm a side person. I work for people who have hits. And it's funny, you know, like the songwriters, like the when I do my seminars, when I go to schools and stuff, when I do a guitar seminar, I tell the people, I said, I have done tours where people didn't know more than a half a dozen chords on the guitar, but they wrote a hit. You know, I'll turn the darn thing inside
right.
out, but I've never wrote a hit, you know. So
right.
It's, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, and everybody that I met, you know, a lot of one-hit wonders, and they made big money off
so
their, you know, they had a number
me?
One hit around the world.
Is there hope for me? Is there hope for me? I'll
yeah,
take a one-hit wonder. No, I want more than one hit.
Yeah.
I'm in the studio now recording again after 8.5 years of promoting other artists. That's all I've been doing is promoting
right.
not-for-profits and other artists.
Right.
And so my last
right.
song I absolutely love, and I think after 8.5 years of not performing and getting older and just what's happened in the world, I think I wrote one of my best songs ever. And it was almost like inspired.
Right.
I wrote it in like 15 minutes, picked up the guitar, had the melody in like another 15 minutes, recorded it with
right.
a mm-hmm. young, awesome kid, and it's fabulous. In fact,
very
I was
cool.
asked to be on a show already, and they actually put Clarence Clemons,
mm-hmm.
they made a montage of Clarence because he was a friend of mine, and I promote his sons, two of his
mm-hmm.
sons that are in the music business. And
very cool.
Well, anyway, getting back to 47, oh my God, but I really, you know, I consider myself too to be like a producer as well, because like when you said,
right.
and you are too, because you know the difference between all of these different sounds. And so when I go into the studio, I literally, and I don't, like, I was telling a famous guy, you know, oh, John Harrington, I apologize publicly. You know, I'm saying, okay, John, on this song, I
mm-hmm.
want you to be very sad, break up in the middle of the winter.
Right.
I want you to do dun, 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 dun. And then I go, oh, my God, afterwards, after we did like, he did 5 songs in 5 hours. And not only did he do the
wow.
guitar on six songs. Then I go, will you go back and do the rhythm guitar? Because my rhythm guitar, now that you put your lead guitar in it, my rhythm guitar sounds pretty bad. So he went back and did it. And he does everything, too. He's, like, very versatile, like you are. Every genre
sure.
of music.
Yeah.
He's so talented. Some people are country, all in country. Some people are, like, I'm a country rockabilly, but I love the jazz, and I love blues, and I love even hip-hop, and I even tried to do a little bit of rap in my last song. So I like all different kinds. But back to you and my friend Stephanie Stevens. And, gosh, when
uh-huh.
will you text me some of the bands that you opened for or that you played with? Because when I promote our interview, I'd like to maybe mention that you opened for some of those groups. That would be really nice to do, and I didn't have them for the, you know, to put in the promotion, but I like
mm-hmm.
my guests to tell their own stories. So now I'm hearing all this about
right.
like what great experiences
so,
you've had on live.
Yeah, so like you and
so go
ahead. Stephanie, me and Stephanie, we played like the talent shows together, and we would do anything that they wanted to hear us, you know. And so what was really funny was at the 30th high school, we all went to that reunion, and next thing you know it, we made a date at that 30th to come back. I go back to New York every summer, and I play for the high school reunion, and Stephanie shows up, all the original people from our 7th grade talent show band. It's absolutely the most amazing thing. Also, I got to tell you that my family has restaurants in Asbury Park. They're on the boardwalk. And Bruce Springsteen used to play at my cousin's place called the Roman Arches, right there on the boardwalk.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
And that was, you know.
Played?
Uh-huh. And then my other cousin had another restaurant a little further down called El Toro's. And I grew up with those, yeah. And so anyways, well, what's fun now is get together every year, get to see Stephanie and get to see the old crowd, you know, when we play. But now it's so much funny is we got so much experience and we play so much now. It's like, wow. I looked at Stephanie, she looked at me, she goes, wow, we kept with it. We really got good, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah. I remember
so really,
Stephanie starting, you know, I remember her before France Marie was born is when I met her before,
uh-huh.
she, you know, so many years
yeah.
ago. And she always sings. Yeah. I go up to her door and I hear her sing. Unlike me, I don't go around the house singing all day, but Stephanie does. And now she's got a full-on like recording show, and she's producing her own music. And she's always been. And not only that, she has three beautiful daughters, and she has a plantscape business. So I don't know how she does it. She's just like got this enormous, unbelievable, beautiful energy. I just love her and her
That's
sisters
great.
Too. You know, I know her sisters as well. And it's amazing. We have something tragic, and I think she knows because I told her. But you know, I know her brother died in a fire, and so did my Irish twin brother Bobby died in a fire 11 years ago. But Stephanie and I became fast friends when we met, and we're still friends till this day. And we used to, when she would sing, she said, "Go, come on down here, I'm doing a show, and come on up and sing a song." So we would always sing Sea of Love together. We would like to sing that song. Sea
of
Love.
Very cool.
And, so I just love Stephanie. She's a great gal. So when I saw that, and when you told me the story that you were best friends, I'm like, oh, and I haven't talked to her yet. I've been super busy, and she's busy, but I'll get to talk to her, and she'll hear the show. I'm sure she said, put a thumbs up or a heart on. She saw the show, that you were going to be on the show. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So I've just been, I don't know what's going on.
So what happened, after, touring and playing and traveling around the country, playing Vegas and the cruise ships, and all of a sudden, the kids started showing up. So I said, I got to settle down. So what happened was I played in Sarasota, Florida, and it was wonderful. It was a very small little town. There was only a handful of musicians. There was a couple of mom and pop music stores. And I said, okay, I'll base myself out of here and raise my two boys. And then I figured, I'm playing just locally. And then I started teaching. And that was real fun. It was like passing the torch to the younger people, you know. So now I'd be here in town. I play with about a half a dozen bands. I'm a good substitute. Plus, I do a single act. And as a matter of fact, I'm playing at the Catazon, the Ringling Museum. That's next week. So.
Oh wow!
And I just,
that's great.
Yeah, and I sit and I play background ambiance music while people look at naked people in pictures.
Oh, all right.
In the museum.
Well,
you know? But then what happened was being in one spot was, playing and I'm meeting all the musicians in town. And then I was invited to a show, and it was The Divine, but it was before they named it Divine. And the name of the band actually is Divine AF, which means all female. And so me and my partner, we went and watched their show, and I was impressed. I was like, they were really great, and, their songs were amazing. And what happened was they needed a guitar player. So I said, well, hey, I'm not busy. And so we got together, and this band is magical. The music that we write, the songs are amazing. And I've never been in a group where – we teach each other. We work. We put the songs together. We all put our two cents in. And it's it's like somebody, like I came up with a chord progression. And next thing you know it, Susan and Kat and Britt, they're magical words, and it's amazing.
Right.
And all our songs are spiritual.
I listen. Music, and you guys are really good. Really good. And those vocalists are like awesome. I was very impressed, and I'm not easily impressed, and I don't know what that means really, but as a musician,
I'm with you.
Around the corner a few times. Yeah, very impressed.
That was the thing with me. They knocked my socks off. Yeah, and they knocked my socks off.
The whole band.
So next thing you know,
do you go ahead and watch an album and everything?
Yeah, we got our CDs are out there. We're in the process of doing another one right now, and they're being well received. We got some airplay on iHeartRadio, and
great.
We're getting we're local celebrities. Everybody knows us. We play at all the prides. We play at all the venues here in town, and it's the most amazing band I've ever been with. I've never seen so much love. There's no camaraderie.
Right.
There's no jealousy, you know, and that's another important thing. And the songs
like
that we write.
Like there's only camaraderie. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, we're doing that. As a matter of fact, we were doing live stream. We got hired by colleges to do it. We do a 2-hour show online. And then the students, and we do like a 30-minute question and answer. You know, they ask questions.
That's nice.
We all come from different – yeah. And so then I took about 9 months off and went back home to New York, and because I haven't seen the season changed in, you know, 49 years. So I went back home to my hometown, and it was great because I got a chance to play in front of my family and, you know, friends I grew up with, you know. And that was such a special thing for me, you know, finally, you know, the kids me and Steffi's class was like, you used to bring that damn guitar to class and noise because you're stuck with it. You got a chance to travel and you did this, you did that, you know. And it's like, yeah, I said, I didn't connect with school and sports was way, no way, you know.
Right.
So I was
most
definitely an artist, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
most artists
I found
aren't really into school.
So,
some are, but most of the artists that I've met.
Yeah, so now I'm like semi-retired. I don't tour anymore. I just stay local. And if I do any touring, it's going to finally be with Divine, and it'll be all original material. It'll be my first band that I'm actually writing something. I'm a musical person. And then the other girls, who was blessed with the words and who was blessed with the bass part? And it was just come together. And it's like I never had such an amazing feeling for, you know, emotional attachment to people
loved it. I went right to you. I always do my homework, and I mean, the minute I you know, decided I wanted, well, because of your talent, and then when I went and listened to the group, I was so impressed.
Yeah.
I just kept listening to another song and another song and another song, and I was like, wow, really wow.
Yeah, so now we're waiting. Well, we can't. We're just waiting for this virus to get over so we can get out there, you know, because we have really good material, and we've been well received with it, you know. What's that?
I was going to ask you a question about your the girls that write the authors of the song. Are they registered? Of course, their music is copyrighted, but are they registered with BMI or ASCAP?
BMI.
Because if they're registered with BMI or ASCAP, then. And then you go to CD Baby, and CD Baby does the whole thing, the distribution on, like, I mean, it's like we just pressed on all, because I have my own LLC now, Ryan Rocks Productions LLC. So my music is through CD Baby, and it's on every single Spotify, Yahoo, YouTube, it's on everything. And so anytime anybody downloads, because people today, sometimes they don't want the whole album, they just want to download, and it's surprising.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're very popular, how many downloads you can get, and, you know, I mean, it adds up. It's not like tons of money, but and it's also the exposure that you want, you know, the exposure.
Right. Now, we're
awesome.
We're with BMI, but we're, like, for instance, I'm on Spotify, and we're on all that. I got a royalty check about a month ago, you know, from my own personal CD. Yeah. And so, it's, you know, like I said, little by little, but with virus, we can't go out on tour. Wow. You know,
yeah,
and
but
it's
you're
really
lucky
tough.
You're working. You're lucky that you're working and that you have the teaching to fall a bit behind on. And of course, a lot of the musicians in New Jersey that I know also have recording studios, so they're able to make money recording other people, and they're able to teach guitar, which is otherwise the musicians that are really gigging musicians, they're in deep duty today.
Uh-huh.
Really, so sad. Because even in Asbury Park, there's like only a few clubs that are even open. They're all the Stone Pony's been closed for a year, over a year now.
Yeah, I know.
They closed down right away.
Yep.
It just celebrated 1 year, closed again. So it's really and I don't go out anyway. So, but you know, younger people, I don't go out because of my age and because of I have some health issues with asthma, and I just don't want to In fact, I just had a test the other day for to see if I have the antibodies.
Yeah, don't push
I just want
to know.
Because if I have them, if I have them, I feel a little bit. I'll still wear the mask when I go grocery shopping, but I would like to know. I think so many people have been really already have the antibiotics and don't even know it. So I want it to be tested. And I need a blood test anyway. But getting back to the music, if you'll text me after the show, because they get this up. I love my Blog Talk Radio because I was away from them for 2.5 years, and when I came back, I had a show within 2 weeks. I was right back because they kept my account open, and I just scheduled my next show, and here I am now after all these years. And after we finish the show, they'll have it up in 5 minutes. They just review. They edit the – it's even probably done by a computer. The computer edits the audio. The audio passes. They probably just do what an engineer does in the studio with your voice. They just tune it all up to the same volume, and they get it. If it's off key, they can get you on key. It's amazing what technology can do today. But
it's amazing.
I know you guys are really good because you were performing live what I listened to on Facebook. So everybody, go and look for the Divine Seven because great music, awesome music.
What's that? Well, anyway, like what I was saying before is that, you know, so this group here, and all we do is originals. Now, I do play around town. I got about 3 or 4 bands that I play with, you know, and I do it my single. Like right now, I'm doing every Friday and Sunday, I'm at Tsunami's, which is a sushi restaurant, and I play background jazz, fingerstyle guitar. Yeah, and then I play with a classic rock and roll band. I play with a country band.
Wow, I wish you were here. I'd have to come
record with me. What's nice about Florida, because we're learning to live with the virus, you know, so we're open. I mean, you know, if you don't want to, then stay home, you know.
Right.
But everything is outside. Right. All the venues are playing. We're outside. And on the stage, they roped off, no dancing, you know. But we're existing, you know. And that's really important. That's why I feel bad for my friends up in New York, because the governor shut everything down, and I got there were amazing musicians up there, and they're begging, you know.
Well,
places
the same with New Jersey, it's the same way. And you know, I have relatives. I have three. I have a daughter in Florida, and grandchildren in Florida, and a son-in-law in Florida, and a great grandson in Florida, and I have two brothers in Florida. So they tell me, and my brother says, we go out. We don't, it's not affecting us like that. No, if that's the way you have to be, you know, then I feel bad. But, no, we're enjoying. We go out to eat. I go, right. And he's no youngster. He's a few years younger than I am. But he's 70, I think. And I said, and his wife is a nurse. And so she's doing this. I mean, and they've even traveled outside of Florida. They've gone to Seattle to see one of their children. They have children, the two kids. And so they are just like not letting this virus stop them from living their life. And it's true, you know, we do just have a day at a time. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So in a way, I think of myself staying in so many months staying in. But I literally was kind of afraid because, my doctor stuck the fear in me. She goes, Nancy, you can't afford to get COVID. You have severe asthma. You won't survive COVID. So she kind of just, and she's from Egypt, and I just trust her. She's been my doctor now since I moved back to Jersey. And she also believes that I'm holistic. Like in California, I was totally like Steph. We're very holistic into eating really healthy food and, you know, just holistic medicine, everything. But here, at 58, I came back here at 55, but at 58, I was getting every vaccination under the sun. And I literally called my doctor today, and they called me yesterday, and they called me back today. And I just wanted to know, because if I don't have the antibodies, I said, should I get the vaccine? And the nurse called me back and said, Dr. Shakir, I love her, said, absolutely, you have to get the vaccine. And I was kind of shocked, because in a way I'm so afraid to get the vaccine. I'm afraid to get the vaccine. I think it's too new. They haven't done enough testing on it yet.
No, I'm
Irish.
With you there.
I'm like Murphy's Law.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but, you know,
I'm with you on that.
You're
blessed.
But
see, the thing
you
is, we wear masks when, you know, when you're running around town or walking, you're wearing your mask, you know. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, and washing the hands a bit, you know, you get home, wash your hands or wherever. I keep one of those little wipes that are, you know, you can wipe your hands and I wipe the steering wheel.
Yeah,
you know, so
I,
we're learning to live with it.
I was a germaphobe before COVID, so you can be sure that I'm very careful. I said, are you kidding? I spray the bottom of my shoes with peroxide and take them off when I walk in the house, because now that I have this cat over here, Bella, I don't want her getting sick.
Yeah.
And, you know, animals can too. And now they're saying, oh, yeah, you can walk in your door. I'm like, what next? Are you going to tell me I'm going to have an alien visitor tonight? I mean, seriously.
Oh, great.
Anyway, let's see. Oh, boy.
Hey, you want me to play you a song?
What?
You want me to play you a song?
Sure. I've never done that before, but it's the new year, and it's Inauguration Day. Go for it.
Yeah. All right,
hold on.
Let me put my phone
We have 23 minutes, but you go, because they always let me go over time. Then I have to talk about my non-for-profit. So let me thank you first. Let me thank you beforehand, because I knew our time, we talked before, was going to go so fast. But text me those great bands that you opened for. And because I can put them in when I send this out. And
I will.
Whatever.
Great.
Go ahead and play. Oh, keep quiet. I promise.
Okay,
thank
here we
you
go.
So much for being on the show, Jamie.
Oh. Did you hear that?
I did.
Okay, here we go.
That gave a really nice tone and to my voice as far as audio. But it was so much better than talking through my iPhone that I'm doing now. But in any case, that was just really fantastic. And like I said, if you were here, I'd be going, I'm coming out. I'm singing. I want you to sing. I want to be able to sing with you. Anyway, thank you, Jamie. That was so wonderful.
Thanks. Yeah, I try to go to New York every summer for at least a month or so. And my youngest is up there. Oh yeah, I'll stop in New Jersey on the way to New York because I drive. So.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, no, I love to drive. I drove all the way from California here, but I loved it. I loved it. I'm 85 miles an hour with the music blasting. I felt so free. I felt like I was on some kind of drug, and I wasn't. But I just love it. But what was I going to say? Something else. I just lost whatever it was. But it was an awesome show. I really enjoyed it, and I have to talk about my not for profits now. But I'm only 40 where I live now. If on a good day with no traffic, I'm in Manhattan in like 45 minutes. So I'm 12 minutes to Asbury Park and 12 minutes to Pier Village, which is only maybe a 10 years new community, very high end community in Long Branch on the ocean. It's very nice.
Yes.
So
it takes an hour to get
hooked up.
It takes an hour to get off the Verrazano Bridge to get through the Bell Parkway.
That's like it is in San Diego, where I live. My friends go, Nancy, you don't want to move back here. And I did visit. And the thing was, for me to go, and there's just the old 101 and the I-5. And I wanted to just go 15 minutes away from Oceanside down to like La Jolla or whatever. And it took me 45 minutes because it was gridlock. So they go, Nancy, you don't want to move back to San Diego. They want to get out of there. It's too damn crowded because even with the global warming, they still have the best weather in the world. You know, they really do. It's paradise. It's just paradise. Other than the fires and the earthquakes, it's gorgeous. So thank you again for being a wonderful guest and for being who you are.
Thank you.
And when you talk to Stephanie, I'll be calling Stephanie this week sometime. I wish you were up
thank
here.
Thank you very much. This was very fun.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Thank you so much.
This
was so much
You're
fun.
Welcome.
Okay.
Yeah, it
and
was
give,
great.
Give Steffi
it was
a
great
hug
to have you.
For me.
Oh,
all right.
All right. All right. You take care. And if I get to Florida, I'm going to look you up as well. Sarasota.
Please
I have to write that down.
Yeah,
Sarasota.
Please come over and have dinner.
I have relatives.
Yeah, come
over. I have relatives all over. I have relatives in that. Tampa, two relatives and brothers in Tampa, and then I have my daughter's in Boca Raton, and she's in like Clearwater area, so I don't know where Sarasota is. But
you're right by me. Sarasota is just over the Skyway Bridge from Clearwater and Tampa.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
You're real close.
There
you
go. So
if you ever go down to visit them, call me. I'll come by.
Yeah. I know my brother Bob is always saying, "Well, you're about." And his wife Sheila, she gets on the guilt trip with me. She goes, "You're about 10 years too late." I mean, because I really haven't. I have daughters, so I go see them, and then I'm pooped out. So anyway, take care. Love
Good.
You. Bye bye.
All right, love you too. Thank you. God bless. Have a great day.
Yeah. You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye bye. Okay, that was awesome. And Jamie Sophia G. What a great gal. You know, I have a picture of a redhead. I'm going to put it up, and I have to really get through my not-for-profits now because I go way over, and oh, my gosh, I'm way over time. but it says you know your tribe when you meet them, and it's true, you do. So here are my not-for-profits. Gregory and Karen Nixon, they've kind of sort of retired, but I still talk about them because they did so much helping hands in New Jersey. Minister Steve Brigham, I just saw him a few nights ago. I dropped him off a bunch of really, I love. I make afghans for the homeless and scarves and all that. But anyway, he's an ordained minister for 20 years, but there's still people, believe it or not, living in the woods in New Jersey. And he is the founder and president of Destiny's Bridge. And there is a video out, Destiny's Bridge. You ought to check it out. It was really very touching and awesome. And that's when I met him like 8.5 years ago. Okay, City of Angels, Recovery Radio, Art Ackerman. Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes. The food bank, they called it the food bank of Monmouth on Ocean County, but now it's called fulfill, F-U-L-F-I-L-L. And the new, actually, it was, she was our former lieutenant governor, and I don't have my glasses on. Here they are. I need my glasses here. Her last name, I can never pronounce that. It's Guiadango. But she is the president and CEO of Fulfill. Paul A. Ressler, president and CEO of TUPAC, the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. Mr. Tim McClune, founder of Holiday Express and Restaurateur. Wonderful guy. So talented, too. Tim's doing a lot of, you know, a lot of wonderful shows on Facebook, and I don't know if he's doing iTunes, but if he isn't, I think he should. Anyway, Philip Richards, director of the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission in Asbury Park, New Jersey, on Memorial Drive. And I'm in the process of trying to secure two more not-for-profits. And I also want to give a shout-out to, I have three wonderful, wonderful sponsors. And what we do is we barter. And there's no money exchanged, but Dr. Ronald Chicklin, he's on Sunset Avenue, and he's a wonderful dentist. So I want to give him out a great shout-out. And he also does implants as well. He does it all. And he's got two offices, one down here on Sunset Avenue and another one up north. Dr. David Marin, he's a chiropractor. He owns the Marin Wellness Center in Shrewsbury, New Jersey. And they do physical therapy and acupuncture and massage, et cetera. And I've been to them several times. Every time I see them, and they straighten me right out. Dr. David, Dr. David Moon. Also, Dr. Gregory Peck, he's up in West Orange. He is a plastic surgeon. He does plastic and reconstructive surgery. And I wish I could say that he made me look like 20 years younger, but I didn't have that kind of surgery. I had a very serious sinus nose problem from an accident. So he had to reconstruct my nose, and he's also wonderful. And he has his operating room there in the same building, and they're the best. Him and his brother are both. In fact, his father was probably the one that had so much to do with designing how to do the best noses on the East Coast anyway. On the West Coast, I think it's, I won't mention names actually. I'm not going to do that until I have to get in touch with them botched. If they want to work on me, I'll give them my nose. Anyway, everybody, it was so much fun. And until we meet again, which hopefully will be, you know, everybody be well, take care, stay safe, and enjoy your life, you know, today, because that's all we've got. And happy Inauguration Day. Bless our new president, President Biden, and his lovely wife, the First Lady, and Camilla, our Vice President. I'll call her Camilla. And that's it. Over and out. Bye-bye. Bye, everybody. Peace out.